Alright, GM everyone, how's it going? Welcome back to another community AMA. I think we've had a relatively slow month. Volumes in crypto have been down in general, and Lifinity was no exception. But yeah, it's kind of interesting because things have been accelerating so much for crypto in terms of like regulation and the tech, but yeah, I guess there just needs to be some kind of catalyst to get the masses back on. All right, well, we're gonna get started with the questions. Our first question is from Swans. Would love to hear what the 1% fee would gain on Sandglass. Is that going to be added to revenue for the Lifinity token? Yeah, so the way fees on Sandglass works and how that relates to Lifinity is that right now all the fees just accrue to Sandglass as a project. And Sandglass as a project is owned by Lifinity. And when I say Lifinity here, I basically mean all the Lifinity token holders. So although that value doesn't directly accrue to the Lifinity token right now, Lifinity as a whole does have ownership over Sandglass, albeit informally. So, in one way or another, that will accrue back to Lifinity token holders. But yeah, the mechanism by which we do that has not yet been decided. But yeah, I mean, I'm just reiterating what I've said, or I've been saying like this whole year. I mean, I don't get this question super often, but I remember I did get it a few times a few months ago. People were curious about that, so yeah, so basically no change. All right, next question is from 71115. Do you already have any initial insights into the effects of Gavel's AMM on Lifinity? Yeah, so Gavel is a sandwich resistant AMM. I think like they're trying to be a launch pad of sorts, like similar to like Pump Fun or all the other variants that are looking to compete with them. So in that sense, there's very little effect on Lifinity because we're not really competing for similar volume. Our main source of revenue is Sol USDC, and I don't think Gavel is really trying to is not trying to capture volume from that. That's more the realm of CLMMs or order books or Lifinity copycats like SolFi and a couple others. But yeah, Gavel is not really a competition, so it doesn't really have an effect on Lifinity. All right, next, White Turtle Bill asks, when book value / balance sheets are calculated, do these numbers include the portion of funds that are put aside for the team runway / future development? No, we don't. If we did, we would include it in the spreadsheets that we're sharing when we announce the balance sheet updates. But yeah. So in reality, if there were to be a like a redemption event, then it would be above the book value that we're announcing, because there would be like all the team funds added to that. So yeah, it would be a bit more. I actually don't know how much more, so don't ask me. But it would be a bit more. Yeah, actually, that reminds me. I'm just gonna drop a tiny bit of alpha. If I'm not mistaken, I think we are getting our 400K of USDC back from FTX on the 30th of this month. So, yeah, book value should increase a bit from that. Probably not too much. How much would it be? Maybe like 1%? Yeah, so maybe like a cent or two increase in book value. Yeah, so that would be good. But yeah, I understand. That's not related to the question, but all right. Next question is from Jules55. Why don't you do buybacks if the token is lower than the book value or lower by X percent? Yeah, so actually we do buybacks when the token is below book value. And we've done this before. I forgot how many times we've done it. At least once, maybe twice, maybe thrice. And we've also done like the reverse with flares, where when flares were below book value and Lifinity was not, FlareDAO sold some of its Lifinity for SOL so it could buy flares up to book value. So yeah, we do these things. I mean, as far as I know, like we are the only protocol that does that kind of thing. And the reason we're able to do that is because we even calculate book value to begin with, where other protocols don't really have a book value. As far as I know, like none have really committed to be like, okay, well, if we have to shut down ever, then we're going to distribute all our assets. Yeah, I don't think that's a thing that other protocols do, as far as I know. But yeah, because we know our book value, we can do these buybacks. And the result of doing buybacks when the token is below book value is that we increase the book value by buying underpriced Lifinity tokens. Everyone benefits, all token holders benefit, because the book value will increase. By removing those underpriced tokens from circulation. But yeah, it's not that frequent because I mean we announce the book value more than once a month, so people are relatively aware of it. So I think people tend to not sell or sell less when price approaches the book value. And will be more willing to sell when it's above book value. So, yeah. And they also know that like we will buy tokens back to book value. So, yeah, given all that, once we started doing this, I think it became less likely that the price falls below book value. Right. Next, we have Lord Prinz. Just tuned in, so not sure if this is already discussed, but can you update us on how confident you are about reclaiming market share based on last month's efforts to do so and how, excuse me, and how successful those efforts were? Yeah, so how confident are we? I don't know. I'm not really able to assign probabilities, because it's not just a matter of our efforts, but it's also a matter of the efforts of competing projects. And yeah, we don't really know anything about that. Except for the things that they actually do, like we can... Oh, can't hear me? Let's see. Can you guys hear me? Oh. Let's see. How strange. Hello, hello. Can you guys hear me? Oh, we're back. Oh, wow, that was weird. Hmm. Well, I don't know what happened, but let me start over with the question after I ban this guy. All right, let's see. All right, so Lord Prince said, just tuned in, so not sure if this is already discussed, but can you update us on how confident you are about reclaiming market share based on last month's efforts to do so and how successful those efforts were? All right, so it's hard to say how confident we are because I'm not sure how to express it as like a probability. This is dependent not just on our efforts, but also how much effort other projects are putting into it. So what we can say is that we're still the most profitable. Which is great. But yeah, it's it becomes hard when a team's strategy is to quote to quote prices very narrowly, to narrow their spreads a lot. When they do that, like they can get more volume for sure. At the same time, it'll also hurt their market making profit, but they can still be profitable that way. But regardless, it hurts our volumes because when they're quoting tighter, even if it's a suboptimal strategy, because they're not earning the most, they can still make money, just not as much. But in the process, they still hurt us. So that's unfortunate, and there's nothing really that can be done about that. We don't really want to play their game where we try to, quote, even tighter than they are. That would be less profitable for us, and it would probably cause them to, quote, even tighter still. Yeah. So I think our efforts are like relatively successful given these circumstances. If you look at the volumes over the past few months, say for 2025, January had the most volume. February had low-ish, but not super low volume. March had a lot of volume. April had okay volume, similar to February. And then May has had the lowest volume. So yeah, like this month, our revenue was relatively low compared to the past few months. But that same difference is also reflected in the total volumes for like Sol USD. So it's not like surprising or anything. And it's not because like we're like totally getting destroyed or something. It's just that total volumes are low. So I mean, obviously, like that's not the only effect, but I think that is the largest contributing factor. So like if volumes increase in the near future, I think that will definitely be reflected in our revenue as well. And yeah, total volume is not something we can really control. So, but yeah, I think based on the fact that we're still able to be the most profitable, I think we're still doing quite okay. All right, next question is from Lord Lube. Does the team have a short to midterm outlook to share? The main things are what we keep reiterating. We continue to like work on improving the market making for Lifinity. I mean, I guess that's just like a never ending task. For SoundGlass, we're continuing to add more vaults. Yeah, I know that's kind of a vanilla outlook to share, but yeah, I think that's basically it. Like, those are the things we're focusing on currently. White Turtle Bill asks, do you still have a relationship with the artist who did the flare art? Yes, we do. Continuing with the question, in this environment where the media / KOLs / crypto Twitter is providing more attention to protocols who produce more volume rather than profit, does the team worry that this extra hype will have long-term negative effects for Lifinity? I have thought about this, and I think no. I think it's totally fine. Like the attention, like it doesn't really do anything in terms of like revenue. That is, like yeah, it appears that crypto Twitter loves to talk about SoulFi because they have the most volume, and the reason they have the most volume is because they quote most narrowly, but we care about total revenue, not volume. So, and all these data platforms have not figured out how to account for MMP, which is why they're not able to show the most relevant stats. But if, like, you know, if projects want to think that, you know, it's all about volume, like, I mean, that's fine with us, I think. Like, if a competing project is focused on the wrong thing, why try to interrupt that? White Turtle Bill says, similar to why we wouldn't run a marketing campaign because it doesn't change on-chain volume. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, projects can know about Lifinity, the DEX. And I mean, a lot of places, but a lot of people actually do, like we're occasionally mentioned on podcasts. I haven't posted like every single time we've been mentioned on a podcast, only sometimes. But people who have been paying attention for like years know that we pioneered the Oracle model. And so when they like talk about SoulFi, they mention us, like SoFi is similar to Lifinity, who pioneered the Oracle model, yada yada, or whatever, something like that. But like that actually like does nothing for us in terms of volume or generating revenue, right? I think the only way it could be a negative is that if there was like an aggregator who was just totally unaware of us. But because we actually generate a lot of volume, aggregators always reach out to us to make sure we're integrated. So, yeah, like SoFi is not, their volume isn't so dominant that we're like, our volume is minuscule. If that were the case, then we wouldn't be making more revenue. But yeah, SoFi has more volume, but it's not like astronomically more or something. So yeah, not really worried about that either. White Turtle Bill says, what are your thoughts on the various aggregators that we see popping up around Solana? I think this is good. Hold on a second. Yeah, I think this is good that there's competition among aggregators. And the reason for that is, as you can see with Jupiter, which is like, you could say, like our main aggregator, like they've updated their algorithm to be less friendly towards us. This is something I talked about in the previous AMA. How exactly they're doing that, but or to the degree that we know. But yeah, when there's competition, and the competition has different algorithms for how they choose which decks to include in their routing. That's good because if Jupiter is kind of being unfavorable to us, then the other aggregators aren't necessarily being unfavorable to us. So the other aggregators may include us in their routing and provide a better price than Jupiter sometimes. And that can show up in meta aggregators like Kaminos. So they have like, they include, Jupiter and OKDEX and DFlow and a few others. So like even if we're not showing up on Jupiter, if we're showing up in a different route on a different aggregator, then maybe we'll be at the top of these meta aggregators. And so yeah, having more than one aggregator, I think, is definitely good for us. Lord Prinz says, just thinking about you and the Lifinity team who have been working your ass off for this project. At what point will the effort you all put in this project not be worth it anymore? Basically, at what point would you rather spend your time elsewhere, and how would such a situation look like? When would it not be worth it anymore? I don't know. It's not something I've really thought about. Spend my time elsewhere. I mean, like, I have hobbies outside of crypto. So, like, it's not like I'm doing crypto 24 seven. Like in terms of work, I'm quite satisfied working at Lifinity, so like I don't know, I don't really feel compelled to spend my time elsewhere. I'm not sure what would. Yeah, I can only really speak for myself, but yeah, like even in my mind, it's not clear what would compel me to want to work somewhere else or, yeah. I feel very fortunate to be working for Lifinity. Yeah, I think that's about all I have to say. White Turtle Bill says, do you have a favorite at the moment as a user slash swapper? Yeah, I actually don't. Like, it's kind of tricky. I mean, I use Jupiter and Kamino. I prefer Kamino, but what's unfortunate about them is that you can't check the routes. You can only see which aggregator it's using, but not the routes. And then it seems to keep forgetting my settings, like slippage and all that. So I have to like redo it every time, which is frustrating. So Jupiter doesn't have those problems. So if I'm feeling lazy, especially, I'll just use Jupiter. But I mean, the Kamino team is pretty based, so I am sure they will iterate on that and things will improve, but yeah. It's kind of weird because, like, even though Kamino aggregates a bunch of aggregators, the price difference between the aggregators is like extremely small. So I think actually their algorithms are quite similar. Like, I feel like it's hard to differentiate between them in terms of like which one gives the best price most consistently. So, all that to say, yeah, I'm not sure it like matters too much. Like, I think you can kind of use anywhere right now. That's like halfway decent. Like you can use OKDEX, Jupiter, Dflow, Kamino, and you'll get more or less the same result. Kamino has said like that they're gonna reward using their swap thing. So that's kind of enticing. I mean, Jupiter used to do that, right? They used to do the Jupiary stuff and give some tokens for swap volume. But I mean, especially the first time they did the airdrop, of course. But now that like once they did that once, then people expect that and try to game it. So then they gave a lot less for the second Jupiary. And now we're on the third season, so to speak. And I'm not sure they will give any for swapping. Yeah, I'm not sure. So like, but Kamino said they definitely will. So in that sense, like, I feel like that's another good reason to use Kamino over other things, because you can expect to be rewarded for it. Yeah. J Sweats, in response to Lord Prim, says, the team would never let us know, just rug like a boss. That's right. We've waited all these years, just a rug. White Turtle Bill says, I've also been using Kamino a bunch. Feel like they'll have some unseen benefits for pushing volume through them. Yeah. It's interesting because like Kamino and Jupiter seem to be moving toward the same direction of like becoming the everything app. Like Kamino expanded the swaps, Jupiter expanded to lending, or soon, anyways. And yeah, well, competition is good. At the same time, I kind of feel like teams are competing over the same slice of pie rather than growing it when they build products that already exist. Like ideally, Jupiter wouldn't waste time building another lending protocol because Kamino is already super good. And then Kamino wouldn't waste time building another swap product because Jupiter's is definitely good enough. Yeah, competition does lead to improvement, but like sometimes the improvements that can be made are very minuscule, and so as a user, you wish they would focus their efforts elsewhere. That's kind of how I feel. Yeah. Like I want to see more innovative products, you know? Not just like slight variations on things that already exist. Like Pump Fun was a sort of innovation, right? Maybe not the best innovation, but like it brought a ton of volume on chain at least. Or you have like MetaDAO with Futarki. Futarki, on-chain Futarki is definitely an innovation. Like that's cool to see. Yeah, I wish we'd see more that kind of thing. I guess that's been like one of the criticisms of Solana. It seems like is like in terms of DeFi, there hasn't been like a lot of like new stuff coming out of Solana. Actually, like we kind of pioneered a new thing, like with the Oracle-based market making. Although actually, like we weren't the first project to ever do it. There was like a Ethereum project, Dodo. Although they didn't like use the same mechanism we did, so like they started with the constant product market maker and used the Oracle price to adjust the price, whereas we start with the Oracle price and then adjust it based on other things. So yeah, anyways, hopefully we can see more new DeFi stuff. I feel like most of the good stuff coming out of Solana is like technical innovations in terms of like speed and efficiency of the chain itself, which of course is very important. And then this year, like so much regulatory stuff and institutional stuff coming to Solana. The big boys are seeing the light. Like it's just simply better on Solana. Like in terms of everything, like speed, cost, decentralization, Solana's where it's at. Anyways, White Turtle Bill says, any thoughts about a premium for protocols who have users interacting with their own front ends? I guess what I mean is, with Lifinity, we don't really care if users interact directly with the Lifinity website or not, because we aggregate through Jupiter in the site anyways. Is this direct aggregation integration on-site something you think the aggregators will want to pay for? Similar to the Tensor slash Magic Eden offers for the Flare bid? Probably not, because like really made an effort to get people to swap on our swap page. because there's really like not much of a purpose to. It's the same thing as if they swap on Jupiter. Yeah, so I'm not sure if they would pay for it. The other thing is like we could charge a fee for swapping on our front end. Jupiter allows that. And then I think they take a portion of that fee. But yeah, so I mean we could do that, but I don't know. It feels a bit distasteful, kind of deceptive, even though there's no like misinformation or anything, but like you can use Jupiter for free, so like feels weird to charge for just using it on our site. Although obviously, tons of projects do that, even like Phantom. I think they charge like, don't they charge like 0.85%? Like same as MetaMask, which is like giant. Such a huge fee. And there's a lot of normies who just don't know that. And so just like pay it. Maybe some people do it even being aware of it, but I mean, it's a lot of money, to be honest. It's a lot of money. If you're losing 0.85% every time you swap, like, sheesh. White Turtle Bill says, "What are your thoughts about creating a Flare NFT landing page, like a website that hosts all the important information about the Flares slash Flare DAO? Would that be something, if approved by the DAO, that a team would be able to host, or would the community need to figure out a way to manage that?" Probably depends on who's gonna build the site. I mean, yeah, we could probably host it, but like designing it and stuff, we'd probably want the Flare DAO to do that. Yeah, like I think building websites now is a lot easier with a lot of AI tools. So I imagine it wouldn't even be like super difficult. Especially if it's just like an informational page and there's like very few interactive elements. For now, I think the Twitter thread you created was pretty based. That's been like super useful, just pointing people to that when they want to do a deep dive into flares. White Turtle Bill says, "I'm just trying to find more ways to expand the community here. Nothing would make me happier than a active base of community members." Yeah. Yeah, I guess the question then would be like, how do people discover the landing page? White Turtle Bill says, probably have to start up social accounts for that to be worthwhile. Maybe so. It's been kind of tough for NFTs, like even the top NFT, Mad Lads, like it seems like the exchange, the Backpack Exchange, is doing just fine, but the relationship with Mad Lads is pretty tenuous, so people are, I don't know, feeling less bullish about it or something. Like the Mad Lads, you can kind of like stake them and get these like pseudo points, just like a number in your backpack wallet. And nobody knows what they mean. At some point, like you could get like airdrops and stuff based on that, I think. But then like the NF like airdropping stuff to NFT holders, that meta kind of just like ended. And now like projects are much more stingy than they used to be during the bull market. So yeah, and when the top NFT project, and it's been the top for a long time, when that one is languishing, yeah, it can be like negative for all the other NFTs as well. Like kind of similar to like Bitcoin, like if Bitcoin does poorly, that tends to be reflected in the other, especially majors as well. I think Flares is like a major. We can call it a major NFT in the Solana ecosystem. But yeah. Yeah, NFTs not getting as much attention as they used to, unfortunately. White Turtle Bill says, yeah, with NFTs just dead and most of them slow rugs slash no value. Plus, with memes going wild, it's hard to get the attention back. Yeah, I guess memes is the other thing. Memes kind of became the new NFT in a sense. But Solana Accelerate was pretty dope. A lot of great talks. Many announcements. White Turtle Bill says, I still think a pivot to 404 helps get some of that back, but since most NFTs are vaporware, it doesn't really matter for them because they can't provide value to either the NFTs or the 404 memes, which is why I think we have such a unique opportunity. Yeah, for sure, like 404 makes NFTs like much more similar to a meme in that you can get an arbitrary fraction of the total supply, not these discrete 1 out of 10,000 units type of thing. Yeah, plus flares have actual value accrual, so. Oh, White Turtle Bill says, think that's about all I can muster for today. Baby needs fed. Appreciate your time and insights as always. Thanks, man. Appreciate your questions and showing up as always. Good luck with the baby feeding. Guess I'll give one last call for any more questions before I close out this AMA. All right, well, I guess I will call it then. Appreciate everyone showing up, and thanks for all your questions. Hopefully we have some more volume in this coming month. Oh yeah, don't they say like sell in May and go away or something? I mean, as the saying goes, volumes were low this month. So, maybe June will be better. Oh, it looks like White Turtle Bill has one more question. Have you looked at the draft proposal I wrote for the MPL 404 conversion? Thoughts? it was essentially the same as what you've been talking about this whole time, yeah. Like I'm down. Max says, what is the next product? Any alpha? No alpha, sir. Yeah, I think most people here by now know that I tend to not leak alpha early. Yeah, things are announced when they're ready, essentially. So when? But sir, good sir, when is also alpha? But I also wouldn't assume that there is a next product per se, as we already have two products. And we're still working on them. But when? This is just like the good old days. And there were many whens in the chat. I guess those were like the NFT days. Yeah, simple times, as Jay Sweats says. Now everything seems to have these complex mechanisms. All you used to have to do was type GM in the chat. You're whitelisted. You buy the NFT, and you're all set. Well, not quite that simple, of course, but. Oh yeah, ranks. Yeah, ranks in the chat. That was a thing. Yeah. I guess things just got harder, essentially. Gotta work harder to make money these days. But I don't know, like, even after the whole, like, whitelist meta, there was, like, a airdrop meta. I mean, like, airdrops went on for a long time. And, sometimes there are huge airdrops, and then there was not much for a while. And there's another huge airdrop. So, I don't know. Although I think, like, it's becoming more common knowledge that airdrops tend to not work for the vast majority of projects. It works well for only a few projects, especially when people are totally not expecting it. But then, yeah. It's also unfortunate because, like, if you never create the expectation of an airdrop, that means you're going to get that much less usage out of your protocol. So there's an incentive to tell people that there's going to be an airdrop. But then once you tell people, then you have a ton of people in, which dilutes the value of the airdrop per user, and then creates a higher likelihood that people become unsatisfied with what they get. And then, well, if everyone's unsatisfied, was there any point to doing it? Yada, yada, yada. It's all very tricky. Am I shilling for margin pie? God, no. Dude, who knows if they're ever gonna do an airdrop? No one knows. The great mystery of crypto. All right, anyways. The rewards was the points. Yes, you get to see the number on your screen going up forever. Amazing. Incredible technology. All right. Well, thanks, guys. That was fun. I'll see you around in the chat. Have a good rest of the day, guys. Peace out.